Hello, I'm Colin Baker. I am, was, and always will be the Sixth Doctor, and you are listening to the Sirens of Audio. You lucky people.
G'day, audiophiles. This is the Sirens of Audio, the show that explores the universe of Doctor Who in the audio medium. I'm Dwayne.
And I'm Philip. G'day, Dwayne. G'day, audiophiles.
G'day, Philip. How are you? How's the week going for you so far?
I'm excellent, thank you. It's been a big week. I'm not sure when this is going out, but last weekend we had our event with Wendy Padbury in Sydney. This is marvellous, and now getting geared up to drive to Melbourne and do it all again for Melbourne on next weekend.
Oh, you're driving down.
I am driving down because I'm also returning my son back to university. So he's been up here for
Oh,
the
that's
last
right.
3 4 months or so, and gonna drive all his stuff back down and get him resettled as well.
And how did the event go, as far as events go, would you say?
Well, I would say it was absolutely brilliant.
Course you would.
I would. Wendy said it was the best event she's ever been to. She may
Thanks,
just be
Wendy.
being polite. It may be she may just be being polite, but she didn't actually say it to me. She said it to other people. So that was, yeah, that was the feedback she was giving. She just
Did Charlie
thought,
give you any feedback?
yep, Charlie, guys, Charlie Hayes is just a joy. And she interviewed her mum for about half an hour or so. And she started by getting up and saying, "These are the questions I'm not going to ask you." They were just hilarious. And so they just did an amazing double act for about half an hour. But it was just fascinating, Charlie asking her mum lots of questions. It was hilarious, Wendy doing the Zoe Wendy Padbury quiz and having no idea at all.
I can imagine.
And Charlie was at the back trying to do it as well, and she was even worse. So Jonathan Ruffle, well done. He blitzed the quiz.
Oh, Jonathan, good stuff. Good
Yeah,
on you, mate.
I know. Yeah, he did great. So yeah, the whole day was just really fun. Everyone who was there was just so friendly and getting on with each other. It was just a really, really lovely vibe environment. It was just, yeah, I had a ball. I managed to sit down, have lots of chats with lots of people along the
Oh,
way.
good.
Yeah, my family came and helped out. They were just fantastic. There was a post somewhere about, Philip's wonderful supportive family. So, yep, you're right, they were.
I saw a photo of Ben, so thanks, Ben, Rachel, Bronwyn. Anyone
And
else?
James.
James too? Yep.
So he's coming. He'll be helping next Sunday as well. So, yeah, it was a really, really fantastic day, and really looking forward to this weekend. I'm catching up with Wendy and Charlie, and also Charlie. Wendy's other daughter has flown in from Hong Kong. So the three of them are together. We're all going out to the theatre. See a play on Thursday night, and so there's lots of things and meals out at Lygon Street, and I'm already exhausted, so goodness knows what I'm going to be like next week. I dread to think.
Keep the coffee on standby.
Indeed.
All right, today is going to be an interesting show, a slightly different format to what we normally do. We haven't done anything like this for a little while. We're going to be talking about a new release from Big Finish. It was only been released in the last week, and that is the latest Rutans versus Sontaran story called "The Children of the Future," written by Tim Foley. And we're also going to be talking about at least one of the Michael Jayston Valeyard stories from Big Finish. I think, Philip, you're going to tell us a little bit about another one too from the Time War box set. Just due to the fact that Michael Jayston sadly passed away, he was a guest that I wanted to get on the Sirens of Audio, and we just missed out. I'm a little bit sad about that. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity to just revisit some of the Big Finish stories that he has done, and just wax lyrical about his wonderful, wonderful voice, but he was superb on audio. So we'll do that. We'll do that on today's episode. But before we get to that, Philip, do you know what?
Oh, what, Dwayne?
I know you're tired, but you've got to jump in with me. Let's go down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Thanks for joining me, Philip.
That's okay, this question's there's nowhere else I'd rather be than down the rabbit hole with you.
I know. It's a simple question. I was thinking about the fact that we're talking about Sontarans versus Rutans. We've had several Sontaran stories on television, but only one Rutan story on official Doctor Who. I want to know what your thoughts are on other aliens that have been as underused as I think the Rutans have. Do you think the Rutans were underused, or was one outing enough for them on TV? Should they have come back?
Oh, I would have loved them to have come back. I mean, Horror Fang Rock is one of my all-time favourites. It is absolutely brilliant. It is terrifying. It is engaging. It is everything you could possibly want from a show. So, yeah, I would love them to come back. And it's been fun actually seeing Big Finish deal with them now, because they're starting to be explored in terms of all the shape-shifting and what that could do. So, yeah, I think very fun to use. I would have said the same thing about the Zygons too, because until they came back more recently, we hadn't seen them at all. And I thought the Zygons were an amazing creature. The other ones, I mean, there's others, but the only other one I mentioned right now, maybe I'll talk more if you want me to, was the Crinoids. The Seeds of Doom, what another magnificent story. The Crinoids were just, once again, the potential, so terrifying. Would really have loved to have seen more of that. What about you? Well, who do you think was a bit underused?
Well, I think the Crinoids for sure. I don't know. The ones that I think of are the Vords, and I think of the Crotons as well. I think they're very, very interesting. Their stories may not be the most highly regarded stories ever produced, but I think they're really interesting. So the Vord themselves are interesting design. Wonder what all that's about and what's under their wetsuits and flippers and whatnot. I always laugh. And the Keys of Marinus, that world, Marinus, is always fascinating to me. So a lot of people find Marinus a boring place or a very silly place, but I find it endlessly fascinating.
I don't understand how it connects. So I really can't quite see the role. You know, once again, the Ford are interesting, but how do they fit in with the rest of the world and
exactly
how they connected? But that'd be, but
that all that could be explored. Could it be explored?
And in fact, if you look at, I mean, most planets in the Doctor Universe are all the same, and the creatures on the whole planet are the same. Where Earth, every continent has different types of people, different coloured skins, different all sorts of, you know, levels of technology and money and prosperity. So in fact, in some ways, Marinus is probably the most accurately drawn world. As they should be flipping from continent to continent with their rings, it actually is a very drawn out world because every place is so different and distinct. It's a pretty good thing.
Mm. And I do agree with you with the Crinoids too. I think they're a very, very good monster that had lots of potential. Simple story, you know, plants taking over the animals, sort of a balance of nature, so to speak. It's been done many times on audio for Big Finish and others in a really good way too. So very scary monster, just like the Zygons, like you said, are scary as well. So, any others that you can think of?
The Nymon, once again, costume wasn't ideal, but actually the concept of the Nymon is a really terrifying concept. It actually maybe be mid invasion, one of the Nymon invasions would be a fascinating place to be. I mean, even things like mandrels, I would still crack me up to see more mandrels. I mean, Doctor, it's astounding how many one-off creatures they've had. Because the Daleks were reoccurring straight away, but we didn't get another reoccurring creature at all to the Cybermen, which is, you know, 3.5 years later. So yeah, there's actually not that many recurring creatures. It's a great one is touched on. We could keep going, I'm sure, but yeah.
And Big Finish has done a lot of them when they brought them back on audio. But
I mean, Big Finish brought the Nymon back brilliantly in the best possible way. Yep. I mean, the Nymon became a real, unbelievable creature through Bombergan's second series.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, that's just a
taster,
a short rabbit hole topic that I wanted to feed you today, Philip. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll crawl up on out of the rabbit hole and talk about the stories that we're going to talk about. We'll start off with the newest release from Big Finish, which is Sontarans versus Rutans, The Children of the Future. Shall I read a blurb?
Why not?
The war between the Sontarans and the Rutans has been going on for millennia and is likely to continue for millennia more. A terrible conflict with no care for consequences or collateral damage. Billions have died with no end in sight. The Brigadier is used to the Doctor acting strangely, but this time there's something decidedly different about the whole affair. As he looks into the Time Lord's odd activities outside of UNIT, there's a mystery that'll take Lethbridge Stewart to a site very familiar to Sarah Jane Smith. Can the Brigadier trust his old friend? Who are his mysterious new allies? And is the future of humanity really at stake? A Sontaran threat could spell the end of their long-standing friendship and the entire planet.
The tale we have to tell is quite an extraordinary one.
From Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, Sontarans versus Rutans, The Children of the Future.
There's much to prepare for tonight.
So, what's all this about?
Remember those missing scientists back when we first met?
Halt! This area is off limits.
They were brought to a castle not far from here, captured by Lynx, the Sontaran.
So you think that's where the Doctor's headed? Returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak.
I don't want either of you knowing too much about Earth's future. But what you need to know is that these people are survivors from a Sontaran invasion of Earth.
Maybe this is future history.
The Cascade Project.
A wound in reality.
It was carnage.
Yet you admit there's something going on with the Doctor. Something odd.
If these Rutans can take any form...
Cunning shapeshifters.
Well, Sarah, just what are we going to do with you?
Big Finish, for the love of stories.
All right, Philip, you've listened to this recently. I've listened to this today. Give us your thoughts on what you thought of this story.
Well, this was the one I've been most looking forward to this month. Last month, by far, the highlight to me was the first Sontaran versus Ruton story. Eighth Doctor Charlie Carez, it was just brilliant. And I loved what they did with the characters. And this one also, I loved it. It was interesting having Tim Treloar, the Third Doctor, in this sort of box set, because you don't usually, well, we haven't been getting so much the recast doing this sort of bits and pieces. So really great to have Tim Treloar. And I do think, once again, Tim Treloar, Sadie Miller, John Coltrane, none of the original cast alive, the Brigadier Sarah or the Doctor. You know what? It just didn't matter. Once again, Sadie Miller is sounding even more like her mother. I don't know, I didn't think it was possible, but more and more she's just catching what her mother's inflections were. And John Coltrane as the Brigadier is just superb.
They've all got the spirit of these characters down pat, haven't they?
They do. And I think in many ways that what got me about this story was trying to piece together what was going on before you find out. So, we know Sontarans, we know Rutans. Well, where are they? And just trying to figure that out. And, there's a couple of twists in there which I thought, I can see that this twist is a bit obvious. And then it wasn't quite what I expected. So I think it's Tim Foley. Yeah, Tim Foley's once again just done an amazing job. So it's only a small cast because there's only five.
Very small.
Only six members of the cast. And yet it is just so, it feels big. It feels epic because of how it's been written. So he's just done such a great job over there. In terms of performance, I really couldn't fault it. And another shout out to Joe Kramer for the music. I love the score. It is so powerful, so good. Without spoilers. there's some really, really great moments. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's, you don't want to throw any spoilers in at all? None at all?
Oh, I'll let you talk for a bit and I'll come back to me. I don't want to just keep talking consistently.
Well, since you mentioned Joe Kramer, there's some interesting differences between this release and the regular Third Doctor box set releases that we get. And I had started listening to this without, first of all, listening to, or first of all, reading the cast list. You usually do that, but I did it this time, and the credits. So I didn't read the credits. And I'm listening along thinking, this music is very, very different for a Third Doctor story. I wonder who did it. And I was very pleasantly surprised when I heard the credits and it was Joe Kramer, because this was different to anything else I think Joe Kramer has done too. This is something completely new that I'd never heard before. And I got a pleasant surprise because, yeah, I think for the fact that it did surprise me, that's what was nice about it. And interesting to have Ken Bentley directing as well, because normally Nick Briggs directs the Third Doctor stories. So it's a slightly different take there. Tim Foley's script is, you know, he's very into tight interpersonal relationships, and that's what we get a lot of in this as well. So we get the Brigadier and Sarah Jane. They're still very freshly acquainted with each other. So there's some interesting interplay there. She's also freshly acquainted with the Doctor. So she's still got some of those, you know, suspicions that she may have had in the Time Warrior. And speaking of the Time Warrior, that
location,
interesting location, because it's set in a similar location to the Time Warrior.
It's the same location. It's the same location. There's hundreds of years
it
later.
Is not similar. It's the same. I like the fact that it was called Lindsay Castle.
Yes,
because I don't think it was ever named in the original serial, but Lindsay Castle after Kevin Lindsay. So that was very, very cool.
And who was Kevin Lindsay for people who aren't as dorky as you, Dwayne?
Dorky as me. He played the original Sontaran Lynx in The Time Warrior.
That's
and
right.
In the Sontaran Experiment.
Great Australian actor.
Yes. And he had a large role in Planet of the Spiders too, but outside the mask in that one.
That's right.
Yeah. So when
it's called Lindsay Castle, I smiled. I thought that's a nice little nod to, yeah. I mean, it's like the Barrowman Road that Sarah Jane Smith lives on, and you know, when they do little things like that, it's a lovely moment.
Yeah. Absolutely. The only thing I was slightly disappointed with was that it's a Rutan story, this one, so not so many Sontarans in it. I don't think there's any, is there?
No.
And they don't come in till right at the end. So, but there is one Rutan that's a little bit different, which is interesting. Which is Tim Foley plays with that kind of concept a lot in his writing. So, I really enjoyed this. I really had a good time with it. So I'm looking forward to the next one too.
Yeah, some lovely twists. I think the only thing that amused me was it Lucy Goldie playing Sergeant Moss. She also does play a Rutan, but the accent is, because she's got a very very strong, is it Scottish accent? I forget what it was now. I apologize.
I can't remember either. I do know it was strong, but can't remember what it was.
She doesn't have an RP accent. She definitely has a different accent. I'm thinking it was Scottish, but I apologize. I've got that wrong. I can't quite remember which one it was. But it was funny when the Rutan was using the same accent, because I don't imagine. I don't know. I guess Rutans don't all speak RP, but in my head, Rutans all speak RP. And so when you had this strong regional accent coming out of the Rutan's mouth, it kind of made me smile.
One other thing that surprised me about the story itself was it was leading me a certain direction, making me think a certain way about the Doctor. I'm trying not to spoil it. And then Tim Foley spins it around. So it sort of subverted my expectations as to who the Doctor was in the end and what his reasonings were. And I thought all the scientific sci-fi gobbledygook explanations were done really nicely too. So it was Tim Foley, you see his name, it's always a winner.
It is always a winner, and this was just so entertaining, so engaging. I just loved it.
Yeah, but just so fascinating to hear that different production team behind it, what kind of product they put out, how different it is compared to, because we've had Nick Briggs and Heather Challen, so it's interesting to get that difference between this one produced by David Richardson. It's a totally different sound. It's amazing how different it is. And yeah, Joe Kramer, give me more Joe Kramer. I love that music in this one. It's great.
Yeah, you really feel the effect of director, producer, muso, sound designer when you've actually changed it all for different series. I mean, this does fit in perfectly with the series. So from last month's episode with Paul McGann, this feels exactly the same as that, but it has got a different feel to the normal Third Doctor, which are a bit more nostalgic. This is much more one of the modern takes of Doctor Who rather than nostalgic feel of Doctor Who.
And the sound designer too, David Rucroft, he does a lot of the BBC audiobook ones as well. So he does a bit of crossover between Big Finish and BBC Audio. So he's also a sound designer that I really enjoy when I listen to the BBC audios. So I see his name and get a little bit excited too.
There you go.
All right, let's finish up with that story, and we'll talk a little bit about Michael Jaston as we discuss a couple of stories that he appeared in Big Finish. And I thought, to remember Michael, we could talk for a moment about The Trial of the Valyard, which was a CD that you can get separately, but it was originally one of the subscriber releases, around about number 180, I think it was, that you could get that. So I'll read a blurb for The Trial of the Valyard, which was written by Alan Barnes and Mike Maddox. There is some evil in all of us, even the Doctor. Transported aboard the Time Lord's orbiting courtroom, the Doctor once again encounters the Valyard, an amalgamation of the darker sides of his nature. This time, however, the Doctor isn't in the dock. This time, the Valyard is the defendant, accused of a crime so terrible that the presiding inquisitor is forbidden to reveal it even to the court, nor even to his counsel for the defence, the Doctor. If the Valyard is found guilty, he'll be executed. Execute the Valyard, and the secret of his origins dies with him, a secret that the Doctor is desperate to know, and which the Time Lords will stop at nothing to protect.
Slight tilt in axis suggests a spaceship. Or a space station in orbit around a larger...
No, no, no! This is an outrage.
Greetings, Doctor.
Madam Inquisitor, I protest.
Frequently, yes.
But he's me. A future version of me. Are you telling me that the Time Lords revisited their own time stream and rewrote the law?
Recorders, delete that last section of transcript. Doctor, compose yourself.
He's either a future version of me or he's something else.
Doctor, we meet again.
All right, Philip. Well, I raised this story with you to talk about today. Was today when you re-listened to it, or did you re-listen to it more recently?
No, I listened to it today. I did listen to He Jested Scars a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And then I also listened to the War Valyard, which is in the Time War 3 today as well. So I thought, as we're going to talk about a really amazing actor. I thought I'd listen to a few others. Trial of the Time Lord, of course, is the first time he came into Doctor Who. But I actually knew him before then. So I knew him from the Alex Guinness series, from the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you ever saw any of those spy, the spy who came into the code and all those.
Was that redone into a movie starring that actor who played Dracula? What was his name? Can't remember. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Sorry.
So I remember him first being in that, in terms of Alec Guinness from Star Wars fame. And of course, yeah, he made more money in Star Wars than he made in his entire career because of his 0.75% of profit he managed to pick up. So What was your impression of him first in Trial of the Time Lord first, before we get to this one?
Well, I love the Trial of a Time Lord. And I think even in that, it was his voice, because his outfit in the Trial of a Time Lord is a little bit silly. But
well, all Time Lord outfits are silly.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. But I always found his voice really magnetic. And I knew him even before that myself. Despite being very young at the time when I saw Trial of a Time Lord for the first time, I had seen, not that much earlier, Nicholas and Alexandria, so which is a fantastic film, which also stars Tom Baker,
yeah,
playing the mad monk Rasputin. So yeah, that's about the final days of the Romanovs, isn't it? That's the name of the family.
Right.
So yeah, so that was a fantastic movie, really long, but he was excellent in that. He played the lead role, and yeah. I've always loved the Trial of a Time Lord, sometimes more than others, but yeah. And I just love, there's a huge contrast between the season 22 Doctor, Sixth Doctor, and the season 23 Sixth Doctor. Very different characters. Colin Baker in the Trial of the Valiard was bringing all that season 23 persona into this special. So we were getting the exact, if you want to, a nostalgic look back at Trial of a Time Lord through this, you're going to get it, because you've got all those same kind of things. And it's between all three of them too, the Valiard, the Inquisitor, who by this stage we know her name is Darkle, don't we? Because we've had her in Gallifrey.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't think they call her Darkle. They don't call her Darkle in this, do they?
They don't name her. So Linda Bellingham, isn't it? Have I got that right? In terms of her name. The actress, I mean, I first remember her from All Creatures Great and Small, because she replaced Helen Drinkwater as the wife later on. Yeah, the three of
and
them...
And she ended up playing it for longer, didn't she?
I think she did. Mm. So the three of them have a lovely relationship together. And I think the way that Colin, Michael and Linda play off each other just really sets the scene really well. I mean, nine tenths of this is really could have been a play on stage, because it's just the three of them.
Absolutely.
And even though it does, I mean, the sound design, it does feel like the courtroom's full. It does feel like there's other people there because they're addressing other people, but it's only the three of them. And I do think, I mean, Colin Baker does give a really excellent performance. I in my head, before I listened to this again, my remembrance of it was the Valiard had a much bigger role. But Colin dominates this whole CD in a positive way, because you know he had the first 3 to 5 minutes is just him doing a lovely, you know, lovely, you know, how did the Time Lords pull me off track again, rants and raves, and it builds beautiful just him, and then bit by bit they introduce the other characters. So Colin is magnificent, and I think Colin's in every scene. He doesn't have a break in this, but yeah, Michael Jason has really brought back. Well, actually, he starts in some ways as a sympathetic side to the Valiard, which we don't particularly like him in Trial of the Time Lord at all, because you know he's against the Doctor. Whereas because he's more vulnerable, because he's the one on trial this time, we see a different side of him, and Michael actually makes him quite sympathetic for the start.
At the very start, yeah.
By the end, no. But for the first half, you're kind of feeling for the Valiard. It's just late on, you know, he does what the Master manages to do, like the War Master, Dirk Jacobi, and even Jeffrey Beavers, which is just turn, where you're sympathetic, really liking them, and this is sudden turn, you go, oh no, I hate you again. And yeah, Michael manages to play that really well, sympathetic, and then, oh no, I don't like you.
So I think there's a stage in the play where he's you're feeling sorry for him slightly, and then all of a sudden he says, no, I want to be completely and utterly found guilty. And from then on, it's like the question marks in your mind. It's like, what's he doing? And his voice is just so powerful from the instant he starts. It's just like, oh, just one of the, it's a voice. Like when he monologues about his origins, which you get some of the very interesting origins here, to the Valiard. I could listen to it all day long. It's just a beautiful voice to listen to. It's like Jeffrey Beavers. I could do the same with him. In fact, I have with audiobooks with Jeffrey, but could do the same with Michael Jayston too.
Yep. I mean, this is 10 years old now. So this is coming out about the same time. It's a bit before the 50th anniversary. It was recorded in May, so just before the 50th. And so
I think it was released in December 14, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
It was recorded a long time before. Was recorded a long time before it was released.
Oh, you're right. Yes, you're right. It was recorded May 13, released December 14. That's a very long time, isn't it? Wow. Mm. I wonder why that happened. I'd be curious to know the background to why that was such a huge release. I've just gone back to subscriber releases. Boy, it was good value when you used to get these. I mean, a large reason why I used to subscribe was for the yearly release, because these subscriber releases, and I don't know how easy they are to get now. I think you can download this one now, I believe.
Yes, you can.
This was a superb, and I think every one of them, you know, there was the five companions, the four doctors.
Return to the Web Planet, Return of the Crotons.
They were excellent. And these subscriber giveaways were just such amazing value and really made subscribing worthwhile. And so, and I used to hang out for these because I knew they were always going to be good. And yeah, this one, yeah, as a throwaway freebie, it's still done with so much love and concern and continuity. As I say, it was done in, recorded May 13. So it was before we had a lot of the Time Lord stuff happening and the extension, the Doctor got past his 13 lives. But it was interesting just listening to what they were playing around with in terms of regeneration, what you could and couldn't do. Some great, lovely Time Lord lore stuff in here, which is quite believable. And there's still that question about, well, who is the Variad really? It raises more questions than answers. I think it's one of the strengths of the story. And Michael Jayston's performance is just, superb.
Yeah, because once you're getting answers to those questions, you think you are, and then he turns it on its head again towards the end. So, you don't know what to believe anymore. But I guess that's the essence of the Valiard, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking about that lore stuff because a lot has happened since then that's kind of turned everything on its head. And yeah, this was at a time when, well, if it was recorded in 2013, it was obviously written long before that. The 11th Doctor hadn't come to his end yet, which was really the 13th Doctor, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. I think the Valiard's one of those examples that just shows that we as fans have been able to just switch off stuff we don't like, understand, know quite easily. Because, you know, there could have been a lot more made of the fact that, you know, this is the bad doctor between this generation. It makes no sense whatsoever. And who really cares? And we've quite happily just ignored that whole...
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Oh, you care?
Yeah. Well, there is one word. There is one word in Trial of a Time Lord that shows that it can be still taken from the New Who lore, where the Valiard says he's the distillation of the Doctor from somewhere between his 12th and 13th regeneration. So it's ambiguous enough that he's some kind of distillation. We don't know what it is. Don't need to know. It's a bit like the Doctor, actually. We don't need to know. The origins.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say there's lots of stuff like that that I think, you know, the Eighth Doctor being half human, the whole fugitive Doctor nonsense. There's so much that we are able just me as a fan, I can just ignore that. So I can enjoy the Valiard as a great character. I don't care about how it actually works, if it works, if he really is the Doctor, isn't the Doctor. I don't care about any of that. Just like I don't care about fugitive doctors, I can just, you know, enjoy a story and not try and work out how it fits or doesn't fit. Just enjoy the character at the moment and just let it ride. And I think it just shows I've been doing it for years.
One thing I also love about the Valiard is the fact that he was throughout the story of the last adventure. So if you like the Valiard, grab the last adventure because he's weaved throughout that entire story.
I'm just going to mention the other Michael Jason stories that you can get for Big Finish. So he first came into He Jested Scars, which was written by Gary Russell. It's part of the Unbound series. So it's Michael Jason and Bonnie Langford. So this is the Unbound story about what if the Valiard had won. And so it follows on directly after Trial of the Time Lord, but Mel has gone with the Valiard. And what happens when you have a character like the Doctor who is prepared to change history and not care about history? Gary Ross has written a really excellent script. And that was the first time they brought Michael Jason back, which was in August 2003. So it was a long time between drinks. That was 10 more years before they came back to the subscriber special of the Trial of Valiard.
Yes.
Then as Dwayne's mentioned already, he comes back for the last adventure in 2015. And the last adventure, I'm sure you mentioned this before, is the Sixth Doctor's, four stories for the Sixth Doctor, which actually lead up to his regeneration. So one of those annoying things is he falls off an exercise bike and regenerates. What Big Finish has done is actually he's given us the stories that led up to why he didn't just fall off a bike and regenerate. In fact, something else much more important was going on. And the Valiard is woven through those four episodes.
And it's a beautiful story, wonderful box set too.
It's a wonderful box set. It's Colin Baker with each of his different companions. Well, not all of them, because one of them sadly passed away by the stage, but with four of his different companions. And at that stage, one of them hadn't even appeared yet in the main range. And so we've got a preview of who's going to be one of his companions with Constance.
Constance, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Constance is in there as well. And so you've got these four stories, all different times in the Sixth Doctor's life, but all of them leading up to why he regenerates. And so it really gives Colin a fitting tribute. And I said, Michael Jason, that's just amazing. He also appears in Bernie Summerfield, the story so far. And so he's got an episode in there where he's playing the Doctor against the Unbound Doctor. And then, as Dwayne alluded to today before too, his last appearance was in 2019 in Time War Volume 3. And it's a great story by John Dorney. It's got all the John Dorney twists in it that you'd expect, because Michael Jason is playing the Valiard, but he's playing the Valiard Doctor, and he's playing the Valiard Trial Valiard. And so he's actually playing two roles throughout the story. And you're not sometimes not quite sure which one is which, because they don't give you all the clues at the right time. But there's stories, there's Daleks, there's the Companion of Bliss, which I'm not sure people may not know if you've been following the time or not. But it's a great standalone adventure. There's a few, there are links with other characters and things. And there's a lovely cliffhanger for the Doctor for the next box set. But once again, Michael Jason is playing one really sympathetic Valiard who you really care about, and then the normal, you can't trust him, he's evil Valiard as well. So every time he appears, he's got something to do. Sadly, not enough appearances. And I'm not quite sure why maybe Big Finish didn't use him a bit more, because every time he comes back, they do a cracker story for him. Great writers, great stories.
And as I've already said, an amazing voice. And I think he really loved the fans as well. He always had a lot of time for fans wherever he went. I think the last big event that I saw him interacting with fans was when Dan and the guys from Type 40 were up there at, is it Quad? I think it was. And he was one of the guests there, and they got an interview, a small interview with him there. And I thought that was really nice, the way he interacted with the fans and just loved him. So it was, he'll be sadly missed.
He will, and I'm sorry, because I had made some preliminary contact with him, and it would have been really lovely to have him on the podcast. So, disappointed we didn't get to chat with him before he passed away.
Yeah, but fortunately we have these lovely stories to go back and listen to as much as we like.
Yes.
Very good. All right. Well, on that note, have you been listening to anything else, Philip, that you'd like to let us know about?
I think that's been all my main listening. Hang on a second, give me a moment now. I'm gonna have a quick look. Yeah, you know what? No, nothing that I want to talk.
So you've already recommended what you've been listening to. I've been catching up on a few things that I've fallen sadly behind on. I've started on not the Victory of the Doctor box set, but the one before that, which is called Everywhere and Anywhere, I think it is, that the previous box set of the 11th Doctor. I've just started on that. And boy, Jack Dudman is going to be missed by me as the 11th Doctor. He's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And Alfie Shaw has done a great job with that season that he's put together. And I'm looking forward to getting to the end to see how it all pans out. And I just love the production of it. And if you let yourself go, you don't even realize that it's not Matt Smith. So no, he's that good.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's what I've been listening to. You catch up on some sleep and get ready for your big drive down to Melbourne. It's going to be a great weekend in Melbourne. I'm sure it will.
And you drive safely up further north and be careful with all the heat. Make sure you stay hydrated.
I know. I was just saying to you before that one of my destinations, I'm going to be camping off-grid with no power, so no air conditioning. It's going to be 45 degrees. But I will be on the beach, so when I get hot, I can just jump in the water.
Yeah. There's no crocodiles or things in the water you can't swim in up there?
There's always things in the water. There's sharks.
Sharks are rare.
Yeah, they're rare until they're not. But, yeah, it'd be a couple of months before we get into crocodile territory. But,
right. But
then we won't be swimming. Crocodiles and stingers, I guess. So
yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for this installment of the Sirens of Audio. Thank you for your company, Philip.
Oh, thank you for yours, Joy. It's been nice to see you and catch up. It's been too long.
It has been good. All right, until next time, catch you all later.
Bye, everyone.
This has been the Sirens of Audio, episode 188, Trial of the Valyard and Sontarans versus Rutans, the Children of the Future, with your hosts, Philip Edney and Dwayne Bunny. Theme music by Joe Kramer. More about us at sirensofaudio.com. Comment below to give us your feedback or contact us via email at sirensofaudio@gmail.com or any one of our socials using the handle @audiosirens. Thanks for listening, audiophiles. We'll hear you next time.